ഓ സമ്മാ സംബുദ്ധസ്സ നമോ തസ്സ ഭഗവതോ അർഹതോ സമ്മാ സംബുദ്ധസ്സ സാധു സാധു സാധു. Today we will continue our Dhamma talk we gave yesterday about the four foundations of a mindfulness. I explained to you very briefly the seven benefits of a mindfulness meditation, which is expounded by the Omniscient Buddha in the Mahasatipatthana Sutra, the discourse of the four foundations of mindfulness. The Lord Buddha, first of all, mentions these seven benefits of mindfulness meditation so that he wants to inspire his disciples to practice this mindfulness meditation. In order to put an end to all kinds of suffering through realization of bodily and mental phenomena in their true nature by means of this mindfulness meditation. So I think you remember these seven benefits of mindfulness meditation. What are they? What are the seven benefits of mindfulness meditation? Purification of beings. And then? Overcoming of worry and lamentations. And then? The cessation of mental and physical suffering. And then? Attainment of path knowledge. And then? Attainment of Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. You remember? Yes, if I tell you, you remember. Please, what are the seven benefits of mindfulness and meditation? Say, purification of beings, and then worry and lamentations, and then the cessation of mental and physical suffering, and then attainment of path knowledge. And then, attainment of Nibbana, the cessation of suffering. You remember? Rika? Huh? I think you remember? Huh? The first one? Purification of beings. And then, overcoming of worry and lamentation. Then, the cessation of mental and physical suffering. And then, attainment of path knowledge. Then, the attainment of Nibbana, or the cessation of suffering, deliverance. What about Radha? You remember? You have heard about these things many times. You should remember. Yes. The cessation of mental and physical suffering. There, the Pali passage is Dukkha Domanasana Atangamaya. Usually it is rendered as the cessation of grief and pain. The cessation of grief and pain. But not only grief, but also other mental discomfort, mental inflictions is overcome by means of a mindfulness meditation. So, the cessation of mental and physical suffering, it's better. It covers all the senses of the passage. Then, to attain, here, we should reflect about the purification of a being. Purification of a being means when a meditator practices this Vipassana meditation with a strenuous effort for the enough period to attain the path knowledge, then his mind is purified from all mental defilements, or mental impurities. So, the Buddha said, the benefit of mindfulness meditation is purification of beings. But we know that mental impurities or mental defilements are the causes of all kinds of suffering, both mental and physical. Mental suffering and physical suffering are caused by these mental impurities, mental defilements. Where there is a mental defilement, there is a suffering. Where there is no mental impurities or mental defilements, there is no suffering at all. Suppose you see, when you have, say, mental distractions, while you are sitting for meditation, the mind is distracted in many ways, going out, wandering, thinking about something else. Sometimes you feel depressed, sometimes you feel distressed, and so on. These mental impurities causes you dukkha or suffering. both mentally and physically. So, mental defilements or impurities are the causes of suffering. Are you happy with these mental impurities or unhappy? When you have these mental impurities, such as restlessness, worry, sorry, lust, greed, and so on, are you happy or unhappy? Unhappy. Unhappiness is dukkha or sukha. Dukkha, suffering. What is the cause of this dukkha, suffering, here in this case? Mental defilements. There, the mental defilements are the causes of all kinds of suffering. Do you agree with me? Why do you agree with me? Because it's right. Because it's right. Then, the Buddha said, the first benefit of mindfulness meditation is the purification of a being. That means that a meditator practices mindfulness meditation can destroy all these defilements. So he is purified from all kinds of defilements. When one is devoid of mental defilements, is one subject to suffering. When one is purified from these mental defilements, is one subject to suffering? No. Then, when the Omniscient Buddha mentioned the purification of a being as a result, the benefit of a mindfulness meditation, does he need to mention the other six benefits? Because the other six benefits are included in the first one, purification of a being. Is it so? Yes. Why the Buddha said, because the whole world is suffering with worry, sorry, lamentation, and distress, depression, and mental and physical affliction, and so on. So when he mentions the overcoming of these mental and physical discomfort and afflictions, then the people easily understand what kind of a benefit they can attain by means of mindfulness meditation. That's the Buddha continue to describe all these six benefits of mindfulness meditation. If the Buddha said the benefit of a mindfulness meditation is purification of being, it's not too evident to the people. When he say it can overcome worry, it means that if you practice mindfulness meditation, you don't have worry, sorry, distress, and so on. Then the people understand very well it. That's why the Buddha mentions the other six benefits of mindfulness meditation. The commentary to this discourse of the Four Foundations of Mindfulness describes some stories of some people who practice this mindfulness meditation and attain these seven benefits of mindfulness meditation. But we need not mention here because we have no time at all to deal with these stories. What I want to deal with it today is just the four foundations of mindfulness. Because when you practice mindfulness meditation, you yourself experience the peace, peacefulness, calmness, serenity through your personal experience when your meditation is good enough. So we need not to explain it because you yourself personally experience it, experience these benefits of mindfulness. Then the four types of mindfulness meditation. The first one is Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana, mindfulness of physical and material phenomena. So when you pronounce this this word in Pali, Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana. Somewhat difficult. Mosquito comes, but it doesn't bite, it goes away. Because it knows this is a Dhamma hall. The monk priest Dhamma, the origin, listen to it. So it doesn't disturb anyone. Because it knows Dhamma. Then, mindfulness of physical phenomena, or material phenomena. This is the first one. When you contemplate on the rise and fall of the abdomen, what kind of mindfulness do you have? What kind of a mindfulness do you have? When you contemplate on the rising and falling of the abdomen, Kaya Nupassana. Why? Because you are mindful of Kaya, physical phenomena. Then when you stretch your arms, how did you observe it? How do you observe it? When you stretch out your arms, do you observe it? Intention first. Then intention there. You stretch out your arms. Then you must observe it, making mental note, bending. Is it so? When you stretch out your arms, did you make a mental note, bending? When you stretch out your arms, did you make a mental note, bending? No? How did you do? Stretching. Why did you note as a stretching? Make it over there? you have to precise that what he means, that leveling makes the mind to note, to observe the movement precisely. But my question is, why did you have to note as a stretching, stretching, stretching? Physical phenomena, yes. Because you are stretching out your arm. So you have to note stretching, stretching. That's the vipassana. The principle of vipassana means to observe or to see things as they really are. Is it right? Yes. So when you are stretching out, you should note stretching, stretching. Why? Because there's a stretching. What you are doing is a stretching. So you note it as it is. Then stretching, stretching. Then, what kind of mindfulness did you have? Kaya Nupasana. Mindfulness of physical phenomena. When you bend the arms, you note bending, bending. What? What kind of mindfulness? Kaya Nupasana Sthipatthana. When you rise up from the seat, you note rising, rising, rising very slowly. Then what kind of a mindfulness? Kaya Nupasana Sthipatthana. Did you do that? Not always. Very seldom. So you must do every time you rise from the seat and you sit down on the seat. Then when you are about to sit down to the seat, first of all you note and ending and ending and then and then what did you have to note? After ending is noted, what should you note? Sitting down, the movement of a sitting down must be observed, making mental note as a sitting down, sitting down. Then what type of mindfulness meditation? Kaya Nupasana Sthipatthana. No? Then, when you, while you are walking, you can't control your eye, not to look around. Then you look some tree or birds or men. Then what should you note? Seeing, seeing. First of all, you should note looking, looking. Without looking, could you see? No. Only when you look at something, you see it. So, first of all, looking, looking, or seeing, seeing. Looking, looking, seeing, seeing. What kind of a mindfulness is that? Kaya. Why? What kind of a sensation? No, it's not sensation, you see. Look something at something and seeing it. No sensation. Yes. Here, seeing means the consciousness of a seeing. The consciousness of a seeing. So you see, here, a dead body here standing, leaning against this table, and his eyes look at that wall. Does he see it? Huh? Does he see it? Huh? No. Why? No mind? Then seeing means physical or mental? Mental. The consciousness of a seeing. The consciousness of a seeing. The consciousness of seeing arises depending on the eye organ and the visible thing. When there's a visible things, when there's the eye organ or the eye, then when the two make a contact, then there arises a seeing. The eyes is physical phenomena, rupa. The visible thing is physical phenomena, rupa. Seeing, the consciousness of seeing is mental. So, the consciousness of seeing arises because of these two physical phenomena, that is, I am visible thing. But there's also another reason. The Buddhist philosophical philosophy, in accordance with the Buddhist philosophy, to see something, you need attention, some attention to the object. So, there is also another mind talker go astray. Doesn't matter. This Abhidhamma, Buddhist philosophy, you need to understand it to a certain extent. So that when you note, seeing, looking, you will be able to realize what is that. So, there's a visible thing and there's the eye. When the two contact together, then there arises a consciousness of a seeing. But if you have no attention to the object, you can't see it. Is it right? Yes. Even though you look at your attention is to your friend talking with him, then your attention is to what? To where? To the talk, and not to the world. Then, even though your eyes is towards the wall, you do not see it. So, attention is one of the four causes of the rising of a seeing, consciousness of a seeing. Then, according to Buddhist philosophy, there's also another cause. At night, this hall has no light at all. So at midnight, no light at all. When you want to see the wall, could you see it? No. Why? There's an object, the wall, very big. Why? There's no light, so you can't see the wall. Then there doesn't arise the consciousness of the seeing, because one cause. There's no the light at all. So the Buddhist philosophy says to see something, you need four qualities. One is a visible object. The second one is an eye. The third is light. The fourth is attention. You remember? What are the four? The consciousness that sees the object. Then, does that dead body see the wall? No, because it has no attention. It has no mind. Then, here we know seeing means physical or mental. Seeing means mental or physical. Mental. So, when you look at something while you are walking, you notice looking. Then when you see it, seeing, you are aware of the consciousness of a seeing, then what kind of mindfulness do you have? You are aware of the consciousness of a seeing when you see. Mental or physical? Mental. What kind of mindfulness? Citta nubhasana. Mindfulness of a consciousness. But this mindfulness of consciousness is also included in the fourth type, mindfulness of mental objects. Because when you note seeing, it means you are aware of the consciousness was here and also the object. Why? When you see something, you note seeing, repeatedly. As long as you see the object, you note incessantly. Then, when you are concentrating, say, good enough, you come to distinguish at least three things. There's an object, there's an eye. So there arises a consciousness. Then you come to judge. The consciousness of a seeing is one process. The visible object is the other, another, and the eye is another. In this way, physical phenomenon and mental phenomenon are realized very precisely. When you realize in this way, while you are observing the consciousness was here as a seeing, you do not identify the I with you. You do not identify the visible object with you. You do not identify the consciousness of a seeing with you. Because what you are seeing is the three separate phenomena which are arising depending on each other. So you know, you clearly see that I is not a I, not a person, not a being. Consciousness being is also not a I, not a being, not a person. Visible object also not a I, not a being, not a person. What are they? They are physical and mental phenomena which are arising on their conditions. Then you don't identify none of these three with you. Then you have removed the idea of a I or you, a person or a being who sees the thing. There's a no I, or no person, no being who sees the object. Then what does see the object? The consciousness see the object. On which condition? On the visible object and I. That is when we do not identify none of the we do not identify these three things with ourselves, with the person, with the being, then the idea of a personality, individuality has been removed. You don't have that idea, I mean seeing. You don't have that idea, I it's mine. You don't have the idea, visible things mine. So, there, you are not attached to the I or the consciousness of seeing or the object. Because we don't, you do not take either of these three with yourself. That attachment has been destroyed. And the other defilement also doesn't rise. While you are observing these, the consciousness of seeing in this way. At the moment, at that moment, you are purified from all kinds of mental defilements. That is why we have to note or observe seeing, listening, or hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, and so on. This realization of three different mental and physical phenomena and their true nature can be done by means of a mindfulness meditation. Without mindfulness and meditation, you can't do it. Then here, when we observe seeing, it's mindfulness of a consciousness and mindfulness of a mind object, mental objects. When you are walking, you note intending, lifting, moving, dropping, touching, pressing. When you are able to note every intention before every movement of the foot, it's better for you. You can concentrate your mind more deeply than ever. Then lifting, intending, lifting, intending, raising of the toe, intending, pushing, intending, placing or dropping, touching, intending, pressing. Then when you note intention, as make a mental note as intending, what kind of a mindfulness did you have? Yes, what kind of mindfulness of a physical phenomena, mindfulness of a sensation or feeling, mindfulness of a consciousness, and mindfulness of a mental state. Four. What kind of mindfulness do you have when you note intending? 2M4. Mindfulness of our consciousness and mindfulness of our mental object. Then when you note lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, what kind of a mindfulness did you have? Mindfulness of a physical phenomena, bodily phenomena. Is it right? Yes. Then, while you are walking about 30 minutes, you feel pain on the back. Then what you do? Stop walking and note the pain. Pain, pain, pain. When you note the pain, do you walk or stop walking? Then note pain, 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 pain. Attentively, energetically. What kind of mindfulness do you have? Vedana, nupassana, mindfulness of a sensation or feeling. That pain is a pleasant sensation or unpleasant sensation or neutral sensation. Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Unpleasant. How do you know it? How do you know it as unpleasant sensation? Because you observe it. Because you observe it very attentively, then you come to realize the actual nature of the painful sensation as unpleasant. Is it right? Yes. Then, because you put more effort in the noting of the movement of the foot while walking, intending, lifting, intending, raising, intending, pushing, intending, placing or dropping, and touching, intending, pressing. You do not look around. Your mind concentrated well on each movement of the foot one after another. It's about 20 or 30 minutes. It is stay with the movement of the foot. So you be calm, concentrated, tranquil, light. Then happiness, rapture, at the time you enjoyed your walking. Then again, you attached it to your experience of a walking meditation. Then you note happy, happy, happy. Tranquil, tranquil, tranquil. Calm, calm, calm. What kind of a meditation do you have? Mental state. You feel happy, you note happy, happy. If you feel unhappy, you note unhappy, unhappy. Is it a mental state or emotional state? It's a feeling or sensation? Feeling, not sensation. Yes. You feel happy. You feel unhappy. You feel happy, then you not happy, happy. Then what kind of mindfulness? The first or the second, the third or the fourth? The second. Mindfulness of a feeling or sensation. Yes. In this way, we can classify our noting of the physical and mental object, but actually it's not needed. You need not classify what's the what. Then what you need is to be aware of what is happening to your body and mind as it really occurs. That's all. So you need not take you need not bother to classify these four mindfulness. What I explain you is to have some knowledge of mindfulness meditation, because you are mindfulness meditator. You should understand this much knowledge. You should have it. So, whatever mental states, emotional state, physical process is noted in the sitting as well as in the walking. What's important is to know it very clearly, to know the object very clearly, to realize it very clearly. Sometimes the noting mind stay with the word labeling. When you say lifting, moving, dropping, lifting, moving, dropping, you do not slow down your step. Step is normal. But you are walking normally, steadily, and you are noting lifting, moving, dropping, lifting, moving, dropping. That's the mindfulness of mindfulness and meditation or bubble meditation. Could you note when you do not slow down the stepping, could you observe the each movement of lifting, pushing, dropping? You can't. Then, even though you are not able to observe each movement of the stepping very clearly, but you note lifting, moving, dropping, lifting, moving, dropping, the whole walk. It's a mindfulness. What is that? Not mindfulness meditation, bubble meditation, or labeling meditation. Because the noting mind stay with the labeling. It doesn't go to the movement of the foot. It's nothing. You mustn't do that. Yes. Sometimes you find it. So, to be able to know the object, the movement of the foot very precisely and clearly, you must put enough effort in the noting. So, sometimes in the sitting, you note rising, falling, rising, falling, rising, falling. Even though you do not find a rising and falling movement of the abdomen, you note it. Rising and falling. Then what kind of meditation? It's labeling meditation, not mindfulness meditation. So be careful not to have it. The labeling or saying words are not much important in this meditation, but it helps your mind to focus the object very precisely and attentively in the beginning of the practice. So you have to label it. But the point is to know the movement, to know the object very precisely and clearly. When you or meditational experience becomes mature, say you have reached the 11th stage of insight knowledge, you have attained it, then at that stage your meditation is becomes very mature. It's an advanced stage. You reached the higher level of insight knowledge. At that stage, you need not level, because your mind can stay with the object all the time without any help from the mind, from the noting. So at that time, you should not level the object, but observe it as it is. The mind doesn't stay with the object. It doesn't go out. It doesn't wander. Though you sit about 2 hours, the mind doesn't wander even once, but it may try to wander, but one of the mental factors doesn't allow the noting mind to go out. It directs it to the object of meditation. Then it doesn't go out. At the 11th stage of insight knowledge, say you want to try whether the mind is going out or not. Say you lapse a very beautiful flower near your walking meditation or near your sitting meditation. You know that. So you think about it, about that beautiful flower. But the mind doesn't think about it, because it stays with the physical or mental object all the time. Even though you send it out to the flower, it comes back as if it's elastic. Yes, at that stage of meditation, that's the 11th stage of insight knowledge. Very, very good. Neither happy nor unhappy, neither suffering nor sukha, or neither dukkha, and so on. But you stay calm, tranquil. You feel equanimity at that stage. You want to reach that stage? Huh? You don't. Huh? Yes. If you have, say, about 1 month or 1 month and a half time, you may be able to reach that stage. But if you have accumulated in the past existences these vipassana jnana, you may be able to reach in 10 days time too. Huh? 10 days time too. So you are hopeful. What you need is effort. Strenuous effort, which is the cause of a continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day. As long as you are not able to have a continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day, then you should not expect it. So, yes, I want to remind you something in the sitting. The times are now going. In the sitting, some of the meditators have a very bad habit. That is, while he is sitting, sometimes he opens his eye and looking here and there, then again close. Then notice rising, falling, sitting, touching, rising, falling, sitting, touching. Then again, about after 10 minutes, open the eye. Sometimes very little. Then again closed and going on with the noting. And is sitting about 3 or 4 times that some of the meditators open to their eyes. It is the right technique. Eh? When you open the eyes and sitting, what did happen? Concentration disrupted, broken. Concentration broken. When the concentration broken, very often it can't be deep enough to know, to realize a bodily mental phenomena. And also, some of the meditators very much worried about the time. Yes. So they place the watch there in front of them. About 30 minutes of meditation. They open their eyes and look at the watch. Then just 30 minutes. I must close my eyes. And then close. And then going with the note, noting. About 10 or 15 minutes at a time, after 10 or 15 minutes, then again open the eyes and look at. In this way, about 3 or 4 times he looked at the watch in his sitting. Such a meditator is a hopeless meditator. He cannot take anything. He cannot experience anything. Then, enough time up. So, may all of you rightly understanding the 4 foundations of mindfulness and practice strenuously and attain your goal.